Who are visiting with us this morning. We're pleased that you're here and have an opportunity to join us in worship of our great and wonderful God. We remember as we open the scriptures of all the many ways God's grace and saving hand has been with us. From the very moment of Adam and Eve's first sin, that when they're kicked out of the garden, the first thing God does is makes coverings for them. And in that we see a sacrifice right away. We see God's saving hand in bringing the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. We see God's saving hand ultimately through Jesus Christ. So this morning, I think in the middle of the 150 Psalms, in Psalm 75, it opens this way with this reminder to recount all the wondrous deeds of God. It says this, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds." Let us this morning praise God, remembering all that he has done for us. Let's worship God.
Hallelujah.
Having come in and worshiping God and giving God great praise, now I just invite you to join with one another, greeting your neighbor with the peace of Christ. But as you do so, keep in mind that illness is definitely going around. So maybe an air fist bump or some hello wave or whatever it needs to be. But be thoughtful of one another, won't you? Let's greet one another. A few announcements before we turn to prayer. Just a reminder that you saw on the screen, probably there's a Thanksgiving Eve service here at 7 p.m. It'll be in the fellowship hall downstairs there, so I encourage you to come to that time of worship. Also, you may not be aware of this. As much as you can feel Thanksgiving getting close, and you know right after that comes Christmas, the season of Advent leads into Christmas, and the season of Advent is actually the beginning of the Christian church year, which means, a lot of this talk to say simply this, next week is the last Sunday in the Christian cycle of the year. It's known as Christ the King Sunday. So next week, we'll be worshiping God and praising God for the year that we've had in serving Him. Also, as we go into prayer, a few announcements about some of our members. First off, I've become aware that more and more of us have been tripping and falling. I've almost thought that I should have let out worship with, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Some of those, you know, people are feeling a little banged up, but I got a call last night that Eileen Skrotenberg called me to tell me that John had fallen, and he's in the hospital now. I don't know any further details than that, and they didn't have much more, but just to keep John in prayer. Also, Janice Pegg is doing poorly at this time. We'll want to keep her in prayer, as well as Peg Klingenberg, and we want to keep her in prayer. And then we remember also Vern Sales is at Mary Freebed, but no visitors at this time, please. And the good news is that Mike Schaefer is home from the hospital. So a lot going on in our community of faith, a lot of people to pray for and hold up, besides those who've also simply tripped and didn't end up in the hospital. Just a lot of illness going around. So let's take time to come before our Lord. Oh Lord, may you quiet our hearts. May you hold us fast in this moment. May we feel your warmth bathe us. For as we come to worship you, O Lord, and consider how great and wonderful you are, to consider how great your faithfulness is to us, we are also conscious of how we don't always reciprocate, how we can be broken and often chasing after our own desires, how we can fall short of what you desire for us to be and do, that sometimes we can go even beyond that level of disappointment and truly sin against you. So, Lord, we pray for your forgiveness right now, that you'd wash over each of us as we call upon you as Lord and Savior, as we ask for forgiveness and rely on your mercy. Pray that you'd create in us a clean heart, as David the psalmist prayed, and that you'd renew a right spirit within us, that we would once again walk in your warmth, that we'd trust in you and your word, that you would guide us into not only this day, but the week to come. That you'd help us as we care for one another, not just out of being good people, but care for one another truly out of following you, desiring to show the love and the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace that we have received from you, that we might show that to others as well. So often we think in terms of those who deserve it, but Lord, you came to us who didn't deserve it at all. So help us, Lord, to show love and forgiveness and mercy and grace to those who don't deserve it. In so many ways, to show your love, not our love, but rather to reflect your love. Guide us to be living testimonies, living witnesses, living books that can be read about your love. That any praise we might receive may go immediately to you, that all glory would be yours. And Lord, we pray that you would watch over our community, the struggles, the strains, and the joys and the expectations. We pray for our school system and our many children who are learning, and all the teachers and administrators who work so hard to not only share a love of learning, but truly a love as so many reflect your love. Help us, O Lord, as a community to reflect you. Help this church to shine more and more into this community. Guide us as we go into our world around us, the many different spheres in which each of us walks, that others might find peace and comfort, and that we might be present in a time of need in your name. We pray for our leaders across this land, that they would have wisdom that is from you, that they would govern in a manner and in a spirit that is impressed upon by you. And we pray for our globe, O Lord, for all the brokenness we see. Inasmuch as we may gather this morning and worship you freely, we are conscious that across this globe there are many who cannot gather freely. They have to keep quiet their knowledge and love of you. We pray for those for whom it is literally a danger to be known as a Christian. We think of those parts of the globe into which people still dare to share your name despite all the risk. And we pray for your peace and your comfort, and that you would help us to be supporting and loving. We pray for those who are hurting among us, O Lord, from those of us who are sick and recovering, or those of us who are worried about what is next, as well as those of us who are in need of special care. We think of Peg and Vern. We think of Mike. We pray, O Lord, that you be with Janice and John. We ask that you be with them as well as the many others who are hurting among us and in need of your love. We pray all this, Jesus, in your precious name, trusting in you, trusting as you taught us to pray, as you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me up here. When I ask for this, come on up. You got a neat little helmet there. We got a few more making their way up. Come on up. Come on up and have a seat up here. Come on right out of it. There you go. Okay, I have a question for you. Does anybody know what a promise is? What's a promise?
It's where you say something and it has to be true for a promise.
It's something when you say something and it has to be true for a promise. So you don't want to say something that's not true as a promise, right? Okay, sure. Does that sound good? You like that? Okay, anybody know what this is?
Water.
What do you do with water? Huh?
Wash my hands.
You wash your hands? What else do you do with water?
Drink.
Go ahead.
You do dishes
with water. Yeah. Huh? You drink water, too. You don't drink the water you wash the dishes with, though. No, okay.
You get it from the fridge.
Okay, you get the water from the fridge. That play, interestingly, 200 years ago. That'd be interesting. All right. Yeah, what else? You water your plants, sure, because water gives life. What else do you do with water? You feed your animals with water, right? Sure, anything else? You wash yourself with that water, that's true, good. It's only until I got to you that I believed that was true. Oh, you just caught on to what I just said, didn't you? Yeah, sorry. All right, sorry. That wasn't fair, was it? No. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to have to keep an eye on that one. Yeah. All right, so we've got water up here, and we've got some promises that are going to be made. Here's what's going to happen. You all are going to watch and remember. It's one thing to watch something. It's another thing to remember what you watch. Okay, can you do that? Sometimes we watch a TV show and we remember it, right? When we see it again, we're like, oh, I saw that, right? Today, you're going to watch and you're going to remember, as is everybody else. Because what's going to happen today is we have someone who has come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And she's going to make a promise that she believes that Jesus is Lord, okay? And because she never did this before now, she's also going to be baptized. And water washes, it cleanses, it refreshes. And this water doesn't make her clean or anything, but it does remind us that God does, okay, through Jesus. Okay, it's kind of a reminder. Like sometimes you need a reminder to wash your hands, right? Okay, this is a reminder. All right? So what I need you to do, I need you to focus because your job is to watch and do what? Watch and remember. So you can't remember if you don't watch, okay? Can you help me do that? All right. Nicole Tenbrink, would you come on up here? Nicole, come on up. So Gord Paul has been working with you and answering questions, and we just give God great praise for that, because you've come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And so before the congregation and these children, we've got some simple questions to ask you, okay? Nicole, I ask you before God and Christ Church to reject evil, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce sin and the power of evil and in your life and in the world? Who is your Lord and Savior? Praise be to God. Will you be a faithful member of this congregation and through worship and service seek to advance God's purposes here and throughout the world? Wonderful. And do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church, to walk in a spirit of Christian love with the congregation, and to seek those things that make for unity, purity, and peace? Wonderful. Now, she has to stand up here alone, and that's a very hard thing to do, but to feel the full support of the brothers and sisters you now will have, would you all stand and make a promise to Nicole? Do you promise to love, encourage, and support this sister by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service? What do you say?
Amen.
Praise be to God. You may be seated. Can you hold this for me? Keep your finger right in there. Thank you. Nicole Marie, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are marked by the Holy Spirit and sealed as God's own forever. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, who gave his life on the cross that we might live and live eternally with you, if we but confess you as our Lord and Savior. And we thank you that Nicole has come to find you as you have sought her, that she can now confess that you are her Lord and Savior. And we pray you bless her and strengthen her and richly guide her in the life that you have for her. All this we pray, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Nicole, I declare that you are marked as Christ's own and belong fully to the Church of Jesus Christ, the King and head of us all. And now, congregation, you have one more thing to say. If you would joyfully receive her, if that's on there, one slide back. There you go. Please, joyfully we receive you into the body of Christ. Join with us as we give witness to the world in good news, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then we have this for you. This is your membership certificate. You can see it, okay? Now, she got a little certificate that helps her remember that she was baptized and that she joined the church this day, okay? That was something for her to remember. Now, did you all watch? Are you all able to remember? Good. Okay. So then you can do this as well. You can have this and go, okay, then we're going to just thank God. And as you have these today, remember that God showed his love by giving us the sweetest gift of his goodness. There you go. There you go. He gave you. There you go. Thanks. All right. I'll take those. Thanks, guys. Can you just hold that for a second? Here you go. All right. Whoops. There you go. I didn't mean to give you two, but there it is. All right. Let's praise God. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
I wonder what it must have been like for Jesus' followers, particularly the disciples, those who were most close to him, those who he had chosen to teach and direct. I wonder how hard it must have been to take in his teachings, particularly as they drew close to what he knew was going to be his time on the cross. There are times where what he had to say must have sounded so cryptic, so incomplete, or lacking of context. This morning, what we're about to read from God's Word is one of those times. They are in Jerusalem. They are there, having just a few days earlier come in with great praise and adoration, people singing great hallelujahs of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, as he entered in on what we often celebrate as Palm Sunday. And he's shown up in the temple courts, and a lot of people are listening to him. And the teachers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes are all questioning him and challenging him. It must have been a tumultuous time. And so one would hunger for those moments in which he would take time to speak directly to those 12. I wonder what it must have been like. Let's pray that God would open his word to us. Help us, O Lord, to hear this morning your word. Your word that you wanted written down and held throughout the generations. That we too would be guided and instructed and reminded of who we are and whose we are. Pray now that you would open this word to us, that we'd be able to do more than just simply hear it, but as they say, really hear it, all through your Spirit. We pray this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. We're in the 21st chapter of Luke at the 5th verse. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified. For these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all of this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Excuse me. You'll be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've been there. I've been to Jerusalem. It was mammoth, the temple. The temple mount upon which the temple stood was even larger. The temple's gone. Much of the Temple Mount is still there. The side of the Temple Mount in one part is what we know as the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. That's the side of the mount upon which all this structure was built. It was massive. It easily could rival some of those things as we talk about as the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was enormous. Some of the stones from that end to this end, 8 to 10 feet high, one stone. It's mammoth. It took them a few decades to build it, to put it all together. And you can imagine what it must have been like anytime pilgrims made their way into Jerusalem to see the big city. It's like us, anytime we go to the big city. I mean, I was just up in Grand Rapids the other day and realized how difficult it still is to drive when it's all buildings and you're driving through concrete jungles. How much more, and many of us have traveled to New York City, and no matter how many times you go, you're still amazed by the Empire State Building. Or even the new Freedom Tower, where you kind of look up and you kind of have to keep looking up, and you find yourself looking up to the point that you almost worry about your balance. Amazing. So it's no surprise that the disciples, as much as they're excited to be with Jesus, and many of them probably thought this was the time that he was going to usher in the overthrow of the Romans, that they're still just amazed by where they are. They're amazed by the structure. The picture in the background is a model that sits in Jerusalem now of the old temple system. It's mammoth. And so you can imagine in that kind of in-between moment where they're admiring the things that Jesus suddenly decides to take a teachable moment that catches them by surprise. They thought they were speaking harmlessly about it. This is just amazing. Look at this. And look at all this adoration of God. Look at all the effort that's gone in to adore God. And Jesus says, I tell you, there will be a time when not one of these stones will be left atop another. What? I mean, it probably had to be hard to fathom. This is the third temple, the picture that you see on there. The first temple was built by Solomon. That was destroyed some 600 years earlier than the time of Jesus by the Babylonians when they were released after 70-some years and allowed to go back. They finally, with the period of Ezra and Nehemiah and all that, another temple is built, a much smaller one, Zerubbabel's temple. But that was removed to make way for this one. And this one is so much bigger, so enormous. And Jesus is saying, not one stone will be left atop another. Little could they have known that that would happen in about 4 decades from when he says it. The temple is destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. Gone. But they had the same reaction you and I would have, where you're just like, when? When? It's hard to fathom, but it's all the more hard to fathom it. Such giant stones that have taken decades to put in place that it would all be destroyed. And not only that, it's God's house. How? He's talking about, Jesus is talking about the removal, much like they had 6 centuries ago of their temple being destroyed. They never thought such things could happen, and that it could happen again when it's that much bigger and stronger. When? We often take this passage to be Jesus talking about our future as well. There's a way in which you can do that, and it's natural for the number of things he references for us to start to think of our own future and our own end times. But in many ways, if you read it, he is still very particular about the events that are coming in just about 4 decades, about this temple being destroyed. And he even goes so far as to suggest that someone else might come and they might be tempted to follow someone else, and that one might interpret this to be time of a revolt and don't follow them. Jesus has another purpose for them and for us. He starts to outlay, because they've asked for signs, he starts to say, hey, a number of things are going to happen, earthquakes and rumors of wars, and he goes through a long list. Famine, we know in the New Testament, in Acts, it speaks of famine. That's part of how Paul and Barnabas get involved, going from Jerusalem to Antioch and back and forth. He starts to give what some of the signs will be before that temple is destroyed. So in part, he answers their question. But he's really about answering the question, when? Their when is about the temple. His when is about what's going to happen to them. He says, before these things, before that place is destroyed, they're going to come after you. Nicole, I apologize of all days to confess your faith in Jesus Christ and all the positives that is, to get kind of a downer sermon must be an enormous bummer. But following Jesus comes with a cost. God has somehow ordained all of this. Rather than simply snapping his fingers and making everything better, he's determined that his news, his good news, is to come through Jesus Christ, and Jesus then determined that through the Holy Spirit he would send us out to spread that good news to a world that doesn't want to receive it. Always looking for good news, but doesn't want this good news. He tells his disciples what's going to happen to them. That look, they're going to be rounded up, the synagogues and others, they're going to be thrown in prison, and he warns them that following him will come with a cost. That each of us isn't just taking on a ticket to eternity, but we bear witness to what we believe, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. There is no one else. Many will come saying they are He, but they are not. There is only Him. And He said that He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He says to the disciples that basically they're going to be grilled. And they don't need to spend their time, the word would really be, overly concerned, consciously turning over. You know what it's like when difficult things have happened in our life or are about to happen, when you're nervous about something, how you turn it over in your mind again and again, how you can't even sleep at night. How many of us have had restless nights where we haven't slept because we're worried about something, right? We can see what's coming and we're worried about it, how it's going to unfold. And you know, and then you know, our friends or our family members, how'd you sleep? I didn't. The word that Jesus uses is to say, don't go there. You don't need to. Because when you become before those governors and others, Jesus says, He will put the words in your mouth. He will give you the wisdom what to say. That coworker, that friend, that relative, that person who kind of gives you a little bit of joking, teasing about the faith, and you're not really sure how to answer, you always feel, Jesus will give you the words. Oh, later in the scriptures, in Timothy, it says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. That's true. We should always know why we believe what we believe. But when we're put under pressure, the situations Jesus describes to the disciples are situations in which it is very unequal in power schemes. They're just fishermen. Maybe the greatest one of them could claim is a tax collector. But they're nothing compared to who they will meet and who they'll be answering to. If you've ever been in an unequal situation of that level where you feel stupid about anything you say, Jesus says, I'm going to be there with you. But it's all for His name and His glory. Our dependency is not on the temple or on the great stones or the wonderful things we've built or even the great reasons we've built them to honor and glorify God, this church alone itself, to honor and glorify God. What really matters is that Jesus' name is passed along, that others may come to know. But for those of us who believe, those of us who are the ones who carry the message, we get a mixed message as to what happens to us. On one hand, it could be our very closest relations, our family, who turns on us, our friends, the people we trust. But on the other hand, Jesus says, if we will endure, none of this will be taken from us. It's amazing. Not a hair of your head will perish. Today, what we witnessed is a reminder of what we've done. That we've taken that moment in our life where we've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of us. That's not to say we're perfect. That's not to say we've done everything right since then. Sometimes we've probably reverted back to some of the things we wanted to leave long ago. But it does mean that we depend in the end not on what we've built, not on what we can show, but simply on Jesus Christ. And he depends on us to share that so that others may come and confess. Everyone here today is here because someone else before us came to believe, because someone before them came to believe, because someone before them. The early church started in the lowest levels of society and soon had all levels interacting with believing in Jesus Christ. And the social structures were broken down as they became brothers and sisters in Christ. We are on a shared mission. And so in many ways, I want to speak to the glorious life that is ahead. But I want to remind us that as we confess, we have a responsibility. That amidst all the grandeur, to remember what matters most. Jesus. Will you pray with me? Help us, O Lord, to lift up your name, to honor the questions that people have, and even the challenges that come, in a manner that always trusts you for guidance and wisdom, so that others may come to believe and place their trust fully in you. We pray this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Let's praise God. And now all the more may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours this day and forevermore. Amen.